Now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
A one-woman show entitled, it's being staged, Bobby Dooley portrays Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show appearing at the various middle schools around Southern California. Bobby's on the line with us. Why this show?
Phil, I think a lot of people have forgotten Diana in the entire hubbub around 9/11, but I have never forgotten. And I want to help school kids never forget, too. I just refuse to let Diana's memory die because I feel that I knew her, and I feel like, unlike most women, I never forgot her. So I know Diana the way a lot of women don't know her. We have a connection almost.
Did you know her? I mean, in life?
I didn't know her. I'd never met her, but that doesn't matter. I knew her. And I hope your mind is big enough to understand. I hope your listeners' minds are big enough to understand that I knew Diana, and a lot of women thought that they did, but I just knew the woman's heart.
Well, what is the connection between you and Princess Diana?
Well, for starters, Phil, I dress a lot like her. I'm similar to her in that I do enjoy elegant things. I am, and I hope you don't think I'm immodest. I'm pretty the way she was, so I refuse to let our school children forget Diana, even if the parents have, and that's why I want to be with the kids. I do consider myself to be, in a way, Diana's surrogate here on Earth.
Now, you're a housewife from Western Estates, California. You're not royalty or anything, are you?
Well, that really doesn't make any difference.
No, but I'm just curious.
I think I'm special in that my husband and I have a very wildly successful landscaping business. I'm the president of our homeowners association. I'm the president of our parent-teacher organization. I followed Diana throughout her life. I knew how she must have felt when she was, you know, thrown over by Prince Charles. So I do consider myself to be Diana's surrogate in a way here on this earth, since God did take her from us. I'm keeping her alive.
Well, now, can I ask you something? You're at Western Estates Middle School today to do this performance for the kids.
That's correct, yes.
Who is Carol Cooper?
Well, Carol Cooper, bless her heart, she was a member of our homeowners association. She wanted to do her own Princess Diana show for the kids. But I did. I nipped that in the bud pretty quick.
Why?
Well, I was going to say, she really doesn't have the essence of Diana the way I do. Plus, I look a little like Diana, and Carol, bless her heart, is really very plain-looking.
Well, when you say you nipped it in the bud, this woman had a plan to do her own Princess Diana show for the kids?
Yeah, but I nipped that in the bud. I'm not going to let that happen.
Why? I mean...
Well, Phil, I knew Diana's heart. I followed her life. I read all the magazine articles about her. I was glued to the TV set when she died. I don't want Carol out there looking as plain as she does, and I don't mean to be cruel. I want the schools to have a good rendition of Diana, and so I nipped it in the bud. I let the schools know that her version did suffer a bit, and she had a bit of a drinking problem too, which I didn't want the schools to know, and that she'd suffered through some abortions. I just don't think the timing was right for Carol, and I couldn't take the chance of her making a complete mockery of Princess Diana, who's given me and many, many women all over America a reason to live.
So you'll be doing Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show for various middle schools. Are you charging money?
I do, Phil, but it goes to charity. I charge the children $1. Otherwise, if the children don't pay, they can go to the library or cafeteria. But I charge $1, and the proceeds go... just as Diana's proceeds went to a charity, mine would go to a charity.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here in the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Bobby Dooley, who is doing a one-woman show, Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show, and you are not allowing any other women from your homeowners association to do this for the kids because you feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, you feel you embody Diana.
I knew Diana's heart the way I don't think most women did. I followed her on TV. I followed all the magazine articles. I was very caught up in the hubbub around her death. And plus, our charity will give money to our charities for people who weren't, because California doesn't have landmines, which is the charity that Diana supported, but our charity will give money to people who might look like they stood on a landmine, if they're missing limbs or anything.
All right, you say a portion of the proceeds?
Yes.
Where does the rest of the money go?
Well, it goes to me. I mean, it goes our makeup, wigs. I have one of the gals from the Homeowners Association setting up the stage. I have a microphone. I have a fog machine, which makes Diana look as if she's coming down from heaven.
Well, what makes you act, your act, for instance, contain the essence of Princess Diana?
Because, Phil, I feel as if, look, everybody forgot about Diana. It's going to be the fifth anniversary of her death, but I haven't. And that, you see, so that makes me different right there. All the other women that I know on the street forgot about it, and they're all about 9/11, and they're all about all this other stuff, you know, the child molestations. I refuse to let Diana's memory die.
Yeah, but what makes your act contain the essence of her?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, we do some very daring things. We do some risky things. When you're an actor, you connect with a character. You visualize a string going from your soul to their soul. And even though Diana went through the windshield of a car, the string isn't broken.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
Well, we show the aftermath of the accident as if she is talking to us from after the accident. I want you to imagine, and if Craig Taylor can cue the music.
Do you have the music, Craig? He does. Go ahead, Craig, cue it now.
Okay, imagine Princess Diana. The show opens with a thin layer of smoke. It's on the stage, very low. We then hear the sound of an automobile crash. And then I rise up from the smoke as Diana to reveal me, and I have a steering wheel coming out of my chest because that's what happened to her. All right?
She's dressed with a steering wheel out of her chest.
Yes. And I know it sounds unusual, but it doesn't scare the children because we're playing this beautiful song.
Are you all right?
I'm just...
If you need a drink of water...
Pardon me for a minute. We revealed Diana. She is coming up from a thin layer of smoke. And it reveals me a steering wheel is protruding from my chest and that I hold up a heart, which is actually a calf's heart that we got from a butcher, and he gives us three or four before each show. And that's supposed to be Diana's heart because the steering wheel pushed her heart out of her chest. And I say, my heart will go on, and the kids see that the spirit and love of Diana is still alive. And really, Phil, you asked the question, why am I doing it? Only I could do this, not some... And forgive me, but that's some broken-down alcoholic like Carol Cooper.
Well, that is awfully...
Phil, but hold on for a minute. And then I say, as Diana, and I do it in a very British accent because she was from England, I'm Princess Diana. Tip, tip, want some chips and fish? Let's go to the loo and then wipe and then leave and go to the theater. God save the Queen. God save the Queen. Let's go to the loo and wipe. The loo, Phil, is the bathroom, and...
All right, is she giving a speech about people who are missing limbs?
Yes, the people that stepped on a landmine, the people stepped on a landmine, and God save the Queen, let's go stand in a queue, and by the way, Phil, chips and fish is the national food of Britain. Chips and fish is the national food of Britain.
I think having a steering wheel coming out of this woman's chest is awfully graphic.
You know something, Phil? We debated that. We really did. But because I know Diana and feel like I am almost, in a lot of ways, the embodiment of Diana, I would never be her, but I can do this and the children won't be scared. And the parents, I can assure you, through the force of my personality and performance, will applaud me.
If I'm a parent, though, and you do this for my my little fourth grader, and you rise up out of the smoke with a steering wheel coming out of your...
I know it's emotion, Phil.
I mean, you're rising up with a steering wheel coming out of your chest. And a heart? A calf's heart?
Phil, because... Listen to how lovely the music is. The children have to see the pain Diana went through to come back and help... To come back and help other children what got exploded by a landmine. And... Wherever you are, my heart will go. Isn't that lovely, Phil?
I fail to see how you're the only one that could do Princess Diana?
Because, Phil, I identify so much with her. Even though Steve has never cheated on me, other things, I feel special, and I know that in many ways Diana was almost reaching out to us, those of us who loved her, to say, help me, I'm in England, and my husband is, you know, he's frightening looking, and how did this happen to me? Go on. It's very emotional. I know the parents will love it, Phil, so don't worry about the children seeing something graphic. Hang on, Phil.
All right, Bobby Dooley, what's going on?
One of the kids wanted an autograph.
Hold back
it. Steve's here holding back the crowd.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We can kill that music. Bobby, I'll put you on hold for a minute. Bobby Dooley, who's doing a one-woman show. Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show. This is, she wants to do it. Nobody else in the Homeowners Association. Carol Cooper tried to. She's, I think it's very cruel to refer to her friend as a broken-down alcoholic who's had several abortions. She's also said that she does this show rising up out of a fog as if down from heaven with a steering wheel coming out of her chest, and she holds up the heart that was allegedly... There's a certain level of drama, I understand, but when you're doing this for middle school kids, there's a heart she holds up. It's a calf's heart that she says is Diana's heart that got pushed out of her chest after the steering wheel popped through. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think this is a show that kids should see? And does she have the right to keep her friend Carol Cooper from doing a one-woman show on Diana? Because according to Bobby, she's an alcoholic. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show performed by Bobby Dooley, the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, who will be performing it today at Western States. This is a show that is graphic. It shows Diana with a steering wheel coming out of a calf's heart, which is supposed to be a human heart, and you then do a monologue.
The one-person show is you pretend like you're that person, and that's what I do. And I don't really have to do a lot of makeup and a lot of costume, because I do look so much like her. So many people have said to me, my God, it's uncanny. And not only that, but I'm a lot like Diana in that I care. We'll collect money from the children for the play, and we do it in the hollow leg of a mannequin, as if it is a plastic leg from Macy's, so the kids know the money is going to people, you know, who don't have legs from explosions. Which is what
686. Here is Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon. You're on the Phil Henry.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to know exactly what school district would allow this person to come in and the educational impact that this show would have. And I tell schools with a steering wheel coming out of their heart or come out of their body and a heart in their hands.
Right. You know, Sharon, to realize is that Diana was a wonderful person. And that even though she, through her, told the great Diana that we always knew.
I agree wholeheartedly. I do not see an educational impact. Our schools are so jammed with education for the kids. This is absolutely not pertinent to their education. No. And I'll tell you what, that I'm in Minnesota and not California. I am hanging up now.
No,
thank
Sharon,
you.
I knew Diana in my heart, and I know that she'd be very happy with this. And I think you need to understand that. Hello?
Street, don't bring it in the schools.
Well, no, why wouldn't... Of course we bring it in the schools. It's something that children need to know, that you can go through an automobile accident and have a very dear friend of half in a train accident, but yet I still remember him. You see what
that
I'm saying?
That is true. That's wonderful. But I feel that that is totally immaterial.
I mean, he has both parts of him in body bags. And
oh, well, no. Wait a minute. We don't need to be that graphic. We're talking about middle school children here, as Sharon's trying to point out. This is very graphic. It is violently graphic.
Oh, my God. And all the sex that they get to see, that's not graphic? I think we're upholding a woman. Sharon, are you there?
I am, okay. But I have to hang up because I am on my cell phone and I'm going over a very busy bridge right now. So
here's
I will
beautiful
listen
music.
To your comments on the radio,
here
but
the
I
music.
Do feel
then
that
the accident.
It is ludicrous. Thank you.
Okay. And then I come rising up out of the fog with a steering wheel through my chest, and I'm holding the heart that was torn from me, and yet I say, see, you see, see, and I'll hold it out for the kids. My heart goes on. What I say, Phil, is that I don't think people should judge me.
I know you're upset.
No, listen, sometimes at night when I'm sleeping, Steve says Diana speaks through me. And he'll hear me say, oh, Dodie, Dodie, my heart. You know?
All right, okay. 1-800-449-816. Jean, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Ma'am, I've worked in mental health work all of my career. I just want you to know that you should run, not walk, to the closest mental health center. It sounds like you've
Says
lost
who?
All touch with what's real.
Says who?
And to upstream with this kind of graphic material is totally uncalled for.
Well, what about
and,
when...
you know, I know you think you're doing the right thing, but I feel like what you're doing is very harmful. Neighbor in your community was heartless and
what about in Lord of the Rings when they had
a... I think you think that you are, Diana,
that's
a major problem.
In Lord of the Rings, they had a sword fight. And that was a wonderful children's... That was a wonderful children's... Listen to this. Then, as the music starts, we hear that fateful crash. Up out of the fog I rise. Almost as if Jesus himself...
Isn't that sac...
Right. Not Jesus, but she rises up out of the fog. Even though there's a steering wheel coming out of her chest, wrapped her... and coming out of her ear. And just horrible things, yes. They're the children. Hello, I'm Princess Diana. Don't worry about the... Don't worry about the steering wheel or anything that happened to me. Because my heart will go on. And then the music crescendos. And then I say, look, you see this? And I'm holding the heart. Just as Celine Dion saying, my heart will go on. God strike that woman down if she thinks that that slut, Carol Cooper, can do a better Diana than me.
All right, okay.
And then, hello, I'm Princess Diana. You remember me from when I got in an automobile accident. But my heart will go there. And so I'm telling you, there's not a dry eye in the house. Not a dry eye in the house. And it is a moment that we cherish.
I don't think anybody has a problem with you playing Princess Diana.
Thank you.
No, we don't have a problem with that. The problem we have is the graphic. Could we kill the music from it? The problem we have... Are you there?
Hold on. Yes.
The problem we have is the graphic image of a steering wheel coming out of Diana's seat. You're holding a heart.
But that is what...
All right, I understand your emotional, Ms. Dooley. 1-800-4... Princess Diana, one-woman show. Bobby Dooley is doing it with a steering wheel coming out of her chest. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Back with Bobby Dooley, who is appearing in a one-woman show at the Western States Middle School. Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show. The objection, I think, that a lot of us have is that you've got Diana with a steering wheel coming out of her chest, a bloody animal heart that's supposed to represent a human heart, and yet you're saying she'll go on.
Still, there are an awful lot of things for the children, though, because the heart is attached to some guide wires, and it flies out of my hand, which shows that the heart does go on. And occasionally, if a child is upset with the performance, we have comic relief. And it's kind of fun. I lean over and I let the child honk the horn on the steering wheel so that she is not, you know, the child is not completely...
All right, so now you take Diana's life and you make a joke out of it.
No, I do not. And God, how dare you say that? I know this is going to sound strange, but I am Diana. I know her so much. I read all the magazines. I read the Life magazine special that they had in the supermarkets. I read the People magazine special. I read every Inquirer they had about her. I got the London Times newspaper, which is a newspaper published in London. And I read everything about that. I read about the Queen, mom. So I think it's very unfair to people say that this is anything other than a wonderful celebration of her life.
Let me go to another phone call here. I got Eileen. Hi, Eileen. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
This woman needs serious help.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way she should be taking a show like this to school children.
Mm-hmm.
If schools are allowing her in, their administrators should be relieved of their position.
What exactly is wrong with celebrating this great woman's life?
There's nothing wrong with celebrating the woman's life.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong is that you don't have a life. What's wrong is that you think by reading a magazine you know who she is. You don't even have a good British accent.
Oh, you know something?
What's wrong is that young children don't need to be subjected to a woman like you who slanders someone else on air.
Slander.
The woman you slandered,
I am celebrating her life. Oh, really? She's dead, so I guess she can't do that, can she?
I'm not talking about Princess Diana. I'm
talking about
your neighbor,
Carol
Cooper, who you nipped in the bud.
Carol Cooper.
You slandered her.
Excuse
me,
Eileen, Carol Cooper is a notorious alcoholic.
Oh,
she's
well,
had
there
three
you go
abortions.
Again, slandering her.
She's had three abortions.
What has that got to
do with
the woman's ability to put on a one-woman show?
Phil, I think someone should get in touch with Carol Cooper and have her call an attorney immediately and sue this woman for slander.
Oh, so she's going to sue me even though she's a Vicodin
junkie. I think this woman's husband should have her locked up and
even
have her mental health question.
Even though she's a Vicodin junkie, she's going to sue me.
All right, so now she's a Vicodin junkie, she's had abortions, and she's a notorious alcoholic.
I don't think that's the kind of woman to represent Diana.
But you are.
I don't think a woman who slanders someone else on radio is the kind of woman to represent Diana.
It's not slander when it's true.
This is a private citizen.
Oh,
she's not a public personality.
Excuse me. You are slandering
Eileen,
her, dear. I'm an attorney.
Eileen.
I happen to know what slander is.
Oh,
and
all of a sudden,
slandering her.
All of a sudden, you're a lawyer, huh?
She can get a tape of this show, and she can sue you and your husband with your wonderful landscaping business for everything you're worth and
you know,
then
Eileen,
some.
You know, Eileen, she eats Vicodin like Tic Tacs.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, I'm going to tell you something, Bobby. I'm going to tell you something, Bobby. You need help. You
know
need
something?
A life, and you need help.
I knew Diana so
and
well, and
I,
you're so
no, you
jealous.
You didn't know Diana. You did not know Diana.
You are hurting me.
You read some magazine articles about her?
I read every
you
life.
You did not know Diana. Diana would be appalled by what you're doing.
You know something? I'm
you are a very
can
sick
do
woman,
a, can
and
you do...
any school that would employ you should have all of their administration fired.
Well, I don't think you even know what you're talking about. First of all, you said you're a lawyer. I certainly do. Oh, you know
and
something?
If I were you, I'd lock up my money really safe because your friend Carol Cooper is going to be suing you very soon.
She eats Vicodin like
Tic
Tacs. Thank you very much, Eileen.
Oh, you're running away now. You're running? Carol Cooper can show...
I'm sorry?
I said that Carol Cooper can cram it. I am Diana.
All right, let me go to 1-800-449-8686. This is Pauline. Hello, Pauline. Are you, you're a native
yes,
of the
I'm
UK?
Here.
Yes.
I'm here.
Go right ahead, Pauline.
I'm from London, England. Personally, I think you're a phony.
You think I'm a
You've never been to England. You haven't got a clue. You've never been to England. Now,
I don't
fish and chips is not the national dish. It's very, very popular.
Yes.
It's not the national dish.
Well, what is?
Roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, everybody eats that.
Yeah, well, that's right.
That's not...
That's a national dish.
That's American.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
All right, are we going to argue about...
Most people don't know how to do a make a Yorkshire pudding
you
here.
You come from Britain,
listen,
right? So can you
just
give
another
me,
thing
can
is...
You, can I give you an excerpt of my show?
Not listen, no.
Hello,
no, no,
I'm Diana, Princess
the other
of
thing
Wales.
I want to bring out
it's one
is
for the money, two
that
for the
was
show.
No accident.
Free to get ready.
When she died, that was
and
no
four.
Accident. Now, I have to
well,
hang
you know,
up because I have
so
to run.
And my heart will go on. That's the wrong song. But you know what I'm saying. Pauline, are you there? Oh, so she gets in her little cutie and then runs off.
All right, well, Pauline's not there, but she's British, and I think she knows what she's talking about. Here is Donna on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Yeah, I would just like to say that this woman has no clue about Diana.
Oh, and you
Diana do? Would not do this type of show for children. She was very protective of children.
Of
this
course.
Is not something she would approve of.
Well, but she's not. She didn't know she was going to die with a steering wheel through her chest either.
Well, no, she didn't.
Right.
But if you knew her like you say you did, you would know how protective she was of her own children, much as many parents are. And I, for one, would not let my children or this in a school, period.
Can I ask you something? What about the show is so wrong for children?
You know, we have to protect our children. You know, it's...
What's wrong with... What do I do in the show that's wrong for children?
A steering wheel through your chest and a heart flying through the air. This is wrong. You know, I don't believe the administrators have let this in the schools.
I was absolutely destroyed when Diana died.
As many of us were. And you know, your type of show is not needed to remind us of that, because those of us who believed in what she stood for, you know, have not forgotten her.
You know something,
by
Donna,
no means.
If Diana were here and she were on the phone with us right now, Donna, she'd give that little smile that we all know, you know, that cute one that only she could do, and she'd tell you to shut the cake hole.
Because, well,
I doubt very much
exactly
that she would say
that. Not Diana.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, Diana would never say, shut your cake hole.
Exactly. And even through everything she was going through with her family and Prince Charles, she never once said anything bad about them. If you saw all the interviews,
What do you think of this? Hello, I'm Diana, Princess of Wales. Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Oh, my God, here come the paparazzi. I'd like a G&T, just like the...
Oh, come on. Is this the show?
It has comedic value, Phil.
Yeah. You lean over with the steering wheel coming out of your chest, and the kid can honk the horn.
Sure.
One for the money, two to get ready, and three to... Oh, my God, here come the paparazzi.
I make the show wonderful for the children. And at the end, I do a little cartwheel to show that I still have my legs. But just imagine... And then up I rise, wherever, and the bloody heart flies out of my hand, and it's hanging on a string. And Carol Cooper, you know what, Carol, if you're listening, why don't you just go ahead and crawl right back into that Tanqueray bottle?
What class.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody back, get back.
What's he doing?
He's keeping all the autograph hounds away from me.
By the way, Phil, this is Steve Dooley.
What do you want?
The lucky kid who catches the heart gets a Bobby Dooley t-shirt.
Ow.
Absolutely disgraceful. 1-800-449-8686. This is the... Will you turn it off? This is the Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
It is the Phil Henry Show. Bobby, come on back out here for just a second. Are you there?
I'm right here, Phil.
Okay, why don't you tell everybody about who you really are?
I'm really a voice that Phil Henry is doing right now.
So you don't exist?
No, I don't.
And you're not an actress playing a part. I'm doing your voice.
That's right. Bye, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed it. Ouch.
Okay, now, from yesterday's show, Don Parsley was on. He was talking about how his daughter had died in an automobile accident, and he wanted to start a fund for her to help other kids that might die in automobile accidents. Well, it gradually begins to take on the shape of some guy who's pulling a scam because his daughter's name is either Rebecca or Renee or Rhonda, and she either died in an automobile accident or a bicycle accident or was hit by a train. He can't keep his story straight, as you'll soon find out.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have heard this guy say that he was driving the car. Now his son, she was hit by a train, she was drinking, she was 8, she was 16. This man is a liar.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Have you ever lost a child? Have you ever,
the public,
have you ever lost a child?
Something as horrendous as a child dying.
That's right.
This is an outrage.
And it happened to me. And it happened.
Did not happen to you. You are a liar.
Hey.
You are trying to, no, don't hate me.
Hey.
You're a liar.
Have you ever lost
a
child?
Make something up on the life of a child is...
Is it
a horrendous thing?
Let me,
you will burn in hell for this.
Let me jump
you
in.
You will burn in hell.
Okay, yeah, I don't. Last time I checked, I don't think you're God.
All right, let, gentlemen. Let me,
I know that. I'm not God, but I know there is
last
one.
Last time I checked.
You will burn in
let me,
hell.
Let me jump in, gentlemen. Is it possible, I would ask Randall, this man is so traumatized by the loss of his wife and daughter that he is...
That's what the doctor said, that I would be confused.
I would be confused too, Mr. Henry. I would be real confused, but I would not be a liar. This guy is a liar.
What am I lying about? My daughter's dead. That's number one.
I want you to send money to California, but he lives in Orlando. He is a liar, and he is
using the American public heartstrings to
grab money.
Why do you have a Los Angeles mailing address and you're in Orlando?
Because he is a liar. No, sir, because I'm planning on moving there.
I have nothing.
Your son
was in the car. You were in the car. It went off a cliff. It went in the ditch. It was on a bicycle. She's 8. She's 16. Your wife died of ovarian cancer. Your wife died.
No, I did
You're
not say that.
Mother,
I said
she died.
All right. Whoa. You got to watch that leg. Okay. Goodbye, Randall.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I'm really lost here. I have absolutely no clue what his being a gay man and a gay journalist has to do with the quality of his criticisms or his reporting has to do. I've been a journalist for 10 years.
Are you homophobic?
Hell no. Are you kidding? My roommate's gay. My uncle's gay, and he's my best friend.
What does your roommate do for a living?
He's an interior designer.
All right.
That matters.
He's a gay interior designer.
So?
Well,
I'm a straight reporter.
So what? Are you proud of being straight?
That has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not I'm any good at what I do or any good at what he does. My mother's an interior designer, and she's straight.
See, Phil, if I can
say... It has no bearing on whether or not she's good.
See, this lady is a good example of the general public. She just said, I don't have any clue. Okay?
No, she didn't. She's asking...
Hey, is your name Eve, by the way?
Yes, sir.
Hey, don't eat from that forbidden tree.
No, you don't eat from the forbidden tree.
Look,
if you'd know your Bible stories a little bit better, you'd understand that.
You are homophobic. I knew it.
I'm not homophobic.
Yeah. Then what are you bringing up the
Bible? How do you know that I'm not gay?
Because you just said you're straight.
How do you know that I haven't been with women?
You'd have to send a photograph or some film.
How do you know that?
I don't believe you, but if you can send me videotape of that.
You are a very sick individual, and
I can't believe
your editors have kept you on as long as you have.
Okay, go ahead and say it, Eve. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You've been wanting to say that, haven't you? Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. If you say you're a lesbian...
So what does that have to do with the quality of your writing, of your criticism?
Nothing.
Exactly, so quit mentioning it. Give it up.
I'm proud of who I am. I worked hard to be gay.
I'm proud of who I am.
Are you a lesbian?
I'm short. Do you see me saying I'm a short reporter?
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm 5'2" tall,
and that makes me the best reporter in Monterey County.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want to offend you. Do you eat your lunch in Box Canyon, or don't you?
And what?
Do you eat your lunch in Box Canyon?
What the hell is Box Canyon?
Okay, she's not a lesbian.
What do you mean, eat your lunch in Box Canyon?
Look, I've been out of the closet for 8 months, Steve, so I've been down some tough roads. I've seen the way people treat gay men and gay journalists. Are you gay?
We've all been down some tough roads. It doesn't mean we hang out.
Being straight is easy.
Everything.
Being gay
can be easy, too.
No,
Anything can be easy.
Being gay is hard, if you get my drift. And many of the people out there who don't want me to be gay, I'm going to be gay despite what they want.
What has this got to do with American Idol?
You're using it as a hammer to slam people over the head and intimidate them.
You know what, ma'am,
and
I don't mean any offense.
From what you do for a living.
I don't mean any offense.
And from what your work is.
I don't mean any offense. May I talk to your gay roommate? Because I'm not making any
sense. No, you're not talking to my gay roommate.
Why
you're not talking to my probably gay dog or my gay kittens or my gay hamster
or my gay fish or my gay bird. I need to talk to somebody who's making sense because you're not making any sense. I'm not making sense. I need to talk
to someone.
You need to go to a shrink.
All right, wait a minute. Eve, you're a journalist, right?
Yes.
All right, can't she say she's a straight journalist?
No.
Why not?
Exactly.
That's nothing you're proud of. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I am proud of that.
But why can't I be proud of being straight?
Well, you can't.
Because that's not politically correct,
yeah, no,
right?
Because it's not all that interesting. Being
and
gay
it's interesting that you're gay?
Yes, ma'am.
Where have you been?
Ma'am,
it's not all that fascinating to see gay people anymore.
Are you a film critic or what kind of a journalist are you?
I'm a reporter.
All right, so you're not a critic.
I cover crime, I cover youth issues, I cover mental health issues, and you would be a great study for that.
Oh, you think I'm nuts because I'm gay?
No, I think you're nuts because you're using it as a tool to get sympathy and to get a lot more than you deserve.
But here's what I want to find out, and then we'll let you go, Eve.
Look, it's typical straight woman, scatterbrained, homophobic, and crazy.
That's very much a general statement.
I am not homophobic.
Homophobic, scatterbrained, and crazy. You could say you're a bi woman and a bi journalist when you get the guts, because you said you ate your lunch at Box Canyon. Now you say you don't. Then you
I don't even know what Box Canyon is.
Do you eat a box lunch? Do you eat a box lunch?
Would you speak English, please?
All right, I think I made my point.
You didn't make any point. Nobody's talking about.
You eat sausage or taco?
Okay, look, Eve, thank you very much for your call.
Mr. Henry, why did you bring this Yahoo on the air?
My name is Doug.
Well, he's done a lot of film critique for us on the air over the...
Phil, I can do it.
I certainly hope you cancel him, because
I'm Doug
he's
Danger.
Dreadful.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
And you are absolutely dreadful. And any recommendation for a film you would make,
oh, really? So
I
you
would
think...
definitely go the opposite
okay,
way.
Okay, so you don't think Titanic was any good?
No, actually, I don't.
You gotta be nuts. You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you
because
like...
Because I have some class and intelligence.
Did you like Chocolat?
It was okay.
Okay. See, I like that one, too. See, so you go along with what I think.
Oh, boy. You're really...
No. What you
nuts.
Do is you mirror what somebody says. You ask if somebody likes something.
Would you please leave
then
your number
say,
with
the... Then you say, okay, I like
okay,
it, too.
Please leave your number with the screener so I can call your roommate.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
1-800-449-8666. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, how big is your business?
I've got a cabinet-making business, basically, I'd say we've been in business now about 7 years.
And so you're a cabinet, you do interior construction?
Yeah, we do subcontracting. A lot of people are remodeling their homes, but it's also very competitive because of the fact that this is a down economy. And when you are someone who's trying to live a good life and you're trying to teach your children good morals, it's tough to go out into the world to do some of these jobs and some of these homes and still come back and maintaining your dignity like a human being. And it's tough for us.
All right, I'm talking to just one of many construction and service-oriented people who we've been talking to this week. You do construction, and we're talking about the economy. You do construction in homes, interior?
Cabinet work, mostly.
All right, cabinetry and kitchens?
Yes, sir.
And you say that it is difficult to work in today's home. Why?
It's difficult for us to go into these homes and to see a lot of the way people live. And I would not take these jobs were it not for the fact that I need the money. But when I go in, and I have a crew of one other person, so it's myself, I have a helper by the name of Cody. We go in, we do the jobs, and I have to be in a home. Sometimes they have pornographic materials laying around. Sometimes, because a lot of the homeowners will leave and say, well, we're going for a couple of hours. We continue to work inside the home.
I know that my wife and I have done the same thing. We've had some work done in our home, and we'll leave, and a workman is in there. But you're noticing things that are inside the house when you are left there?
Well, I think it's difficult not to.
You mentioned pornographic materials. What else?
The movies that some of these people look at, the music some of these people listen to is offensive to me. It's offensive to the people that I work with. And again, I wouldn't take the job were it not for the fact that this is a down economy. We need the money. But I think that what we have done, I think morally, is the proper course, even though we are technically stealing, and yes, I'm not being honest.
Because you're telling me that you go into a home to redo the kitchen cabinets and you'll see pornographic materials. And by when you say pornographic, Mr. Marco, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about some of these magazines that show all of the everything, some of the movies that show everything. I was using a telephone in the master bedroom. One of the jobs we were doing out here in Santa Clarita, I used a telephone in the master bedroom, and there is underwear and this kind of thing. I don't want to get into it.
Well, you don't have to describe it.
But the point being that's why we remove these items.
And you're taking this stuff out of the people's houses and doing what with it?
Well, we're basically just getting rid of it.
Why?
Because, again...
Because that's technically stealing. Look, if somebody hires you...
Mr. Henry, I'm an honest man.
Okay, you're an honest man as far as it goes, but if somebody hires you to come into their house and do some work inside the house and they leave, and you're taking items that you think are offensive to you and getting rid of them, that's stealing.
That is maintaining my dignity as a human being and as a Christian, and at the same time, I don't think it's stealing. All we're doing is getting rid of some of the offensive, whether it's underwear or this kind of thing, and maintaining my dignity.
And what, do the people notice this stuff is gone?
Yes, they do, sir.
Do they ask you where it went?
Sometimes they have asked us, have we seen this or have we seen that? We'll say, no, we have not.
So you lie. You lie.
Absolutely. And I'm not denying that I lie, but I'm lying so that we can maintain our dignity as decent human beings and continue to operate like the creatures God intended us to be, walking upright, instead of walking around on our knuckles like half of these people that I do jobs for, where they have filth laying on their coffee tables and filth in their VCRs, and whatever you want to call it, dog collars, all of this. So, yes, sir.
Why take the job from someone to redo their kitchen cabinets? Why take a job from someone to redo their ceiling lights or whatever it is you do, Mr. Marca, when you're going to wind up stealing items from their home?
We do not steal, sir.
Well, you're taking stuff that belongs to somebody else.
Yes, that is technically true. But I have it within my right as a Christian to remove any offending material while I'm trying to do my job. Putting in a cabinet, which is a delicate operation and certainly demands concentration, and I'm aware all the time over on the coffee table is a pornographic piece of film, and of course the boxes show everything now, and I can't do that. And
so you're being distracted.
Anybody would be. We are simply trying to restore dignity in these homes, and if that takes removing some of these items, so be it.
All right, that's a very interesting conversation we're having with Mr. Austin Amarca. He's a cabinetry man. We'll get back to his phone call in just a second. I want to give our phone numbers out. He does a lot of cabinet work, interior carpentry work, and he says the economy is so down that they'll take any job they can, but he's gone into some homes and seen pornographic videotapes, pornographic materials, magazines, these kinds of things. He mentioned underwear at one point, and it's difficult for them to do their job when they know that stuff is there, so they remove this stuff from the home, and they don't tell the homeowners. And, of course, technically that's stealing, but when he's asked, and the thing that I want to ask you, Mr. Mark, and I'm just bringing my audience up to date, when you're asked, do you know what happened to the stuff, you say, no, I don't. Are you there, sir?
Sir, I'm right here.
Okay, you say...
Could you repeat your question?
Yeah. When you're asked, do you know what happened to the stuff, you say no.
That's correct, sir.
Why do you lie?
Because, sir, if I told them that I was removing... We saw a homosexual and a bisexual pornographic material, and I'm told if I tell them I took it, obviously they're going to fire me, and we need to work. The economy is too soft.
So you don't want to tell them you stole this stuff?
I don't consider it stealing when I am trying to maintain...
When you take something from somebody's house that doesn't belong to you and you don't tell them you took it, you don't think that's stealing?
No, I did not in this case.
What's the difference?
In this case, we are taking filth, and it shows everything on the box. If you have been into an adult bookstore and you have gotten one of these adult... bisexual or homosexual movies, and on the box it shows everything, you would understand that while I'm trying to do cabinetry work or I'm positioning some new canned lighting in someone's family room and laying on a coffee table is a woman who has no clothing on at all, is being attended to by another woman. There are no men. that you can understand. And one of the women is wearing something that only a man should be wearing. I think you understand what I'm...
All right, you don't have to... So this is offending you?
It would offend any decent man trying to maintain it. And Cody, who is my assistant, was in the master bedroom. He came out with some kind of a lubricant material. Now, he was upset. And
you don't have to describe what it is, though.
No, but he was upset, and he could hardly finish the job that day. I'm trying to maintain my morality as a Christian man, maintain my job, and keep my family fed, and by all that, not having to look at someone's lubricant or this kind of situation. Now, that is...
And again, I don't need the graphicness.
I'm sorry.
But you're saying that you have every right in the world if you go into a home where you think there's offending materials to take them out of there.
Yes, sir, I do. And again, think about what they're missing. It's nothing they're really good. They could go out and buy it again.
Well, it costs money.
Well, if it costs money and they don't have enough money to buy it, then they're spending their money on the wrong stuff.
You know that you're giving a bad name to... You say Christian, right?
Yes, sir.
You know you're giving a bad name to anybody that calls himself a Christian.
I don't maintain that I'm just saying that I got my own personal relationship with Jesus. And I feel that in order to feed my family, stealing these kinds of underwears and this all of this is not bad.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is a down economy. And in it, men and women are forced to do lots of different jobs. This man does interior construction work, in which sometimes he finds himself in a home where there are offending adult videotapes, offending adult pornographic materials, clothing, etc. He says, in order to maintain his decency, he takes those materials out of the home and gets rid of them. Now, I would imagine most people should remove that stuff if they have workmen there. Or should they? Isn't it the right of a homeowner to have laying around anything that he wants to have laying around, and the construction worker or the cabinet maker or whoever it is just going to have to overlook it? Or does that guy have the right to steal that stuff and get rid of it because he's a Christian? 1-800-449-8686. Fascinating question. We'll get back with Mr. Austin Amarca, who is a cabinet, does inside cabinetry work in the Santa Clarita Valley. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Austin Amarca. He's a cabinet man. Interior construction is something that people do. They do additions to their homes. This man says that it is difficult for them to do their work when pornographic materials are inside the home, when offensive materials are inside the home. A lot of these guys, the homeowner trusts you while they're not there to be there to do the work.
I understand that, Mr. Henry, and I do appreciate that, sir. And I try not to violate that trust.
And yet, if you find bisexual videotapes or you find underwear or something that's offensive, you take it out of there.
That is the only case. We do not... I'm not selling this for profit. I'm trying to maintain my decency as a human that walks upright and that I'm not an animal. Now, Bill Wheeler, who I told you about, and Mr. Wheeler's story was well-documented in the Los Angeles Times, is a carpenter who had been going through, I believe, the laundry of one of these individuals. Bill is a very dear friend of mine, a very moral man.
Now, he'd been going through the laundry.
That is correct. And it was his determination that there was some kind of a flavored feminine hygiene product that had been used. That is a violation, in our opinion, of Christian ethic. And
why?
I'm sorry?
Why?
Because that connotes that there is oral sex being practiced, and that is a violation of the Christian ethic if a flavored or scented feminine hygiene product is being used. Now, that's well known throughout the Christian community.
So he smelt underwear? Are you telling me the truth? This guy did that?
Sir, see, if we take a job and go into your...
I just want to hear the answer to, did he?
Yes, sir, he did, but there are reasons.
So this guy determined after sniffing some woman's underwear that this was not the right place...
And he did quit the job, yes, sir. I have a family. I can't do it.
1-800-449-8686. Do construction workers inside your home when you're not there have the right to take out pornographic materials or offensive material? Sharon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Sharon?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Well, I just wanted to say to the gentleman that he is trying to take God's job, and God did not give him that job. His responsibility as a Christian is to pray for these people and to bring them to Christianity and
Absolutely.
To Jesus.
Absolutely.
Not take things out of their home,
but ma'am,
which is clearly stealing.
Do you believe that we are also in some place, eyes and ears of God?
Oh, yes.
And I also believe that in Bud Wheeler's case, we are the nose of God, if you want. And
I think going into a woman's underwear and sniffing it is offensive.
Not when you are trying to determine if you're in a home where sin is being committed.
Then you should not take a job in that home. I babysit for 27 children and they in different families.
Well, how
and
am I
have seen some offensive things, but I have never removed them from their home because it's none of my business.
Have
it's
you gone
God's
through,
business.
Do you go through the hamper? Do you... go through drawers or anything like that, ma'am?
No, I do not. I take care of the children. I do my job.
Let me ask
How
you, Sharon.
How come you're not putting up the cabinets like you're supposed to be? Why
yes,
are you
ma'am,
snooping around and being snoopy?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
Why are you snooping around in someone else's home instead of doing your job and putting up the cabinets?
Because I have to determine what kind of a home we're in. Secondly, I am doing the cabinet work, and I think it is one terrible thing to do to a man while he's putting cabinets in your kitchen and you've absentmindedly left around a sex aid laying on the coffee table or a videotape depicting bisexual or homosexual activity, and they show everything on the box these days. I don't know if you've seen these. Everything is hanging out and you can see it all.
I don't go into porno stores.
No, neither do I, man.
I don't know.
No, neither do I, but I'm talking about some of the websites that we've investigated. And so it's difficult when you have to level out a cabinet that you've rebuilt, and I'm talking about going into drywall now, not into plaster. And meanwhile, there's a box sitting on a coffee table with everything hanging out. I'd give you $100 if you can level that cabinet out.
Well, I don't understand why you feel the need to take over God's job, because this is his responsibility to bring these people around. You are to pray for them,
and
he will show them the way and the truth and
dear,
the light.
I totally agree with you, but I do beautiful cabinetry work, and I think it's the work of God. My work will get marred, and that is God's work will get marred. If we are offended by ball gags or strap-on things, that's not what God wants.
I know that,
all right.
But you are marring God by doing this to these people, and then they come home, they find out their items are gone, and then and you say, well, hey, I'm a Christian. I have the right to get that out of your house because I'm putting some cabinets up.
You're
just going to say, hey, you're just getting into our house and doing things you're not supposed to be doing. That makes God look bad.
Well, no, it does
you
not
say,
make
I'm
God.
A Christian.
God doesn't want a ball gag in a home. God doesn't want a strap-on in a home.
No,
God
but you're trying to take over his job. You're a Budinsky, sort of.
Ma'am, who else is going to do it? You think God's going to come sweep
yes,
down in an invisible way?
He will send people to do it. He doesn't necessarily need you to do it, and maybe he doesn't want to do it. Maybe he's leaving it there for a reason.
You know
because
full
God
well.
Because God does everything for a reason. He allows certain things to happen so that he can be the number one in their life, not you, and you're trying to be number one.
Ma'am, can I ask
me.
You a question? Are you telling me you can properly babysit children even if you see a lavender silicone device that's left on a bathroom counter? I don't understand
that. If I see something, I do not touch it, but I'll tell you what, I don't go back there.
That's the key. There's the key. Don't go back.
I cannot.
Yeah, don't go back. Sharon, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right. Thanks a lot. 1-800-449. That's a very thoughtful lady.
Absolutely, Phil. And but she doesn't understand that the war we fight is a war that we have to fight while we still maintain employment.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm speaking with Austin DeMarco. He's a construction worker, carpenter.
Yes, sir. I do a lot of carpentry.
All right, and he builds cabinets, and he has been in homes lately that have a lot of pornographic material laying around in it, and it offends you.
Yeah, absolutely, sir, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Loretta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, Loretta, go ahead.
Yes, I have a feeling that this gentleman is secretly very fascinated by this stuff.
No, ma'am.
I think you are.
No, ma'am.
Because you go to great lengths to sniff this stuff out. I think you're secretly fascinated by it, as Christians, or so-called Christians, often are.
Yeah.
And now, ma'am, if I was working in a home where there were things offensive to me, I'd throw a quilt over them and continue on with my work. But the fact that you cannot work with them sitting there means you are secretly fascinated with them.
What about?
Ma'am, I find that very unfair, and that is not true. I am trying to maintain a decent life.
It's not your home. I think that this show should be broadcasting your name, phone number, and the town you live in so that people can be aware of you.
That's a good point. Why can't we give your name?
I'd rather you not.
Well, there you go. You shouldn't even be allowed to speak on the radio. I would give my full name and number for anything I ever said.
Ma'am, first of all, no one's going to obviously hire me.
Then you admit it.
That's right. You don't deserve to be hired. A person's home is their sacred place, and you have no right to change the interior decoration.
No, ma'am, I'm not changing decoration. I'm removing from the home unnecessary sexual devices.
But they're necessary to the people that reside there. Don't you understand?
What do you
You're
mean?
Violating their home.
Ma'am, I would ask you with all due respect of a Christian man.
If I had chickens in my home, that would be my business to raise chickens in my home. It's the same thing as if somebody wants to watch sexy movies. It is none of your business. Cover it with a quilt.
Ma'am, what is the purpose of a ball gag if not to humiliate a woman?
But that's not your business. You're there to build the cabinet.
That's right. You're a cabinet man, and you aren't the moral police.
Well, I throw a quilt. I don't own a quilt.
Well, then it's a canvas, a piece of canvas.
I work with very sharp power saws, and the thought of sodomy that goes on in these homes can be dangerous for myself.
All I'm going to say
exposing
is I'm not going to fight with you.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
Talking with Austin Amarca
on the Phil Henry Show.
Sorry, baby. Talking with Austin Amarca, who is a cabinet maker from the Santa Clarita Valley. You are a Christian. You don't have any problems describing yourself as such.
I'm very proud of that, Mr. Henry.
All right, hold on. You don't have any problems describing that as such. You say when you go into a home to do some cabinet work or carpentry work and you see offending materials like pornographic videotapes, if the homeowners aren't there, you take them out of there.
That is correct.
What if the homeowner is there?
If the homeowner is there, obviously I will not do anything because it's his legal right to keep...
Aha! See, so if he's there, you won't do anything.
However, hold on for a minute. If you leave your home and you give me the key to your home, okay?
Yeah.
You've given me tacit approval to be in your home, and therefore, by law, I can go through your home and look into things that could be wrong. And
no, you can't, sir.
Yes, I can. If you leave me in your home with the key to your house, if you let me in there, as you yourself have said you do with some workmen.
Yes, I do, if we have work that needs to be done.
Then I am allowed, because you're giving me tacit approval, to go into areas and look at things. Now,
I haven't asked you.
I'm there. Did you give me permission to be in your home?
Yes, I did. I gave you permission to work in my home.
Well, but if you... No court in the land is going to say, well, you're not allowed to go in. Now, I went into the master bedroom to use the phone, and that's when I saw the ball gag, and my friend, the workman Cody, and a very dear friend of mine, and Bud Wheeler, and we talked about this at church, about the underwear. You can smell the strawberry
Okay, please don't get any more graphic than you already have, sir, okay? But you're saying that because you're there and they've given you permission to be there and they're not there, you can go where you want.
I can go within reason. If there's something that offends me, certainly. Let me ask you something. If the house was set on fire, am I supposed to leave and not do nothing about it?
I would expect you would want to put the fire out.
And they'd want me to, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Same goes for if I'm in the house and laying there on a table with everything hanging out, all of the big breasts and everything, is some kind of a lesbian affair that I knew nothing about, and now I've got to do something with it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Al, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I have a problem with this gentleman because he's using the name of Christianity to go into these people's homes and steal their porn. And he's also, he's claiming to be a Christian, but he's sinning when he goes into the home and he steals the porn. And that's stealing, which is one of the Ten Commandments. And he's lying about it, which is another one of the Ten Commandments. And he shouldn't do that and say it's in the name of Christianity.
Well, but lying is not one of the Ten Commandments, I don't think. I could be wrong.
Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal.
Which I know about stealing, I know that. But God allows us to steal. How's it stealing if I'm stealing someone's strap-on device? How's that stealing?
Because it doesn't belong to you.
Well, it shouldn't belong. It shouldn't belong to anybody. It belongs to the devil. That's what it belongs to.
But by you stealing it, you're taking it into your possession. That's also wrong.
I'm keeping it away.
So now that possession is in your possession, and if it's wrong, then it's wrong in your possession.
Well, what do you think? I'm using it? I'm keeping it away.
I don't know what you're doing, but it's not right. What you're doing is not right. It's not right in the name of Christianity.
Hell.
And you're using Christianity to say that's your job. That's not your job. That's God's job.
Hell,
if the Bible tells you not to judge, therefore you shall be judged.
Well, Al, if you broke into a home to save a child from drowning in a bathtub, they might say you broke and entered in that home, but most of them would say you saved that child's life.
But how would you know there was a child inside the home that was drowning in the bathtub?
Well, if the child...
How possibly would you know that?
Wouldn't you break into a house to save a child what is drowning? Of course you would.
How would I know that there was a child in the home drowning?
She might be screaming for help. Okay? Now, me taking one of those vibrating...
You don't have to describe it.
I'm sorry?
You don't have to describe it.
All right, but me taking one of them out, that's the same deal.
No, it's not. And you also said that you investigated on porno websites. How is that showing any kind of Christian behavior?
I investigated over 3,000 porn websites and saw, I wouldn't even have seen this one thing had it not been sitting there glowing in the dark, because a lot of these glow in the dark.
But you're not answering my question.
What's that?
Were you on 3,000 porno websites?
To investigate, a lot of these things look like. See, a lot of them are disguised as potholders or this kind of thing.
But that's not Christian behavior.
I've got to know if I go into a home to do cabinet work and I see something glowing on a coffee table and they tell me it's a lampstand and it turns out to be, you know, Big Boss Man number 63, the 9-incher. And I didn't know anything about that.
God, you know something? This man's right. This Al is right. You're investigating this. You know this stuff way too well.
I have to maintain my soul.
You're not maintaining your soul that way. You're stealing.
All right. Al, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Kevin, go ahead. Kevin?
Phil. Oh, yeah, Phil.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, Phil, I'm a retired union carpenter myself, and I've had over 26 years experience in this, and I've had to do a lot of the similar work that this gentleman is talking about. And, you know, if you're doing cabinet work, which is very accurate and precise, you need to have your tools laid out in front of you. It's a two-man job to put those cabinets, you know, in their place.
Tell me something I don't know.
Tell
me something.
Why aren't you doing that instead of being a more pulled towards the living room table or ending up in a master bedroom where there's no cabinets to be put up? Using the phone.
Yes.
And what right did you have to go in the master bedroom? And the other thing is this. If you see that thing when you go in to bid on that job.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you say, could you please remove any pornographic material or anything offensive to my Christian faith? And I'll be back tomorrow to do the job gladly.
Well, sir, that's a very good idea.
See,
thank you very much.
That's a good idea. That's
you know?
A good. Before when you're bidding the job, say, well, if you want my work.
But I couldn't afford to lose this job. See, because
correct, and I know that.
I'm in the state of California where the economy is very bad.
Correct.
And so you know what I'm saying, right?
Right.
But that sounds reasonable. The problem right now is that I do have quite a bit of this stuff that I've confiscated in my garage, and I don't know whether I should give it back.
Well, you call it confiscated, but you know what? I think if...
I've got six kids to feed.
I feel as though if your customers knew that you had removed those items out of their house and they can prove that those were... that belongs to them, they can have a policeman go over there and have that stuff given back.
That's
and
right.
Be
in
charged,
other words, you could be arrested.
Be charged.
Yeah, with a crime.
Well, look, I'm not going to take out an ad in the paper that says, if you're missing a Big Boss Man 9-inch...
No, you're not going to do that.
Let's get away from that.
Get
in the now and talk about the now and your work procedure. All you have to do is...
I'm thinking about having my kids
as
go in there and...
As snoopy as you are...
Label it.
As snooping as around as you are going into the master bedrooms and finding...
You know what I'm talking about, though, Kevin. You're a former cabinet guy, right?
Well, yes.
All right.
I've done that, yeah.
And you're telling me you've never gone into a hamper. Come on.
I have never gone into a hamper. I have never done any of that. That is off limits. My job is to do the construction job.
You get into serious trouble. And not only that, you're going to put a bad name on all the carpenters, all the guys who do cabinet work.
Exactly.
Give them all a bad name.
And you know what's going to happen? You're talking about the economy, Larry. The carpenters, they're going to take a dive in pay raise because of people like you.
Well, you can smell the strawberry douche.
Okay, that's it. I don't want to talk about this anymore. This guy's a freak.
He is.
He's a freak.
To go into the basement... You know, when he should be in the kitchen, and to go into the master bedroom to use the phone when he's supposed to be in the kitchen, putting up, cabinets, it just doesn't make any sense, Phil.
All right. Hey, Kevin, I got to go because we're doing a tilt-up, and one of them just dropped out, I think, on one of my meds.
Oh,
Jesus.
Gracious.
What, are you kidding me?
Well,
it's okay with Cody.
All right.
Oh,
listen.
It's okay with Cody.
Yeah,
well,
thanks a lot, Kevin.
Touche, huh?
All right, bye-bye. Bill? See you later.
Jesus, somebody dig him out.
A tilt-up wall just fell on Cody, the guy who had his nose in the hamper drawer. Thanks a lot there, Austin. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of Austin and Market was actually portrayed or played by me. The people that called in were unpaid, unprompted, real people thinking Austin was a real guy. Don't you ever worry about having guys in the house while you're out? And okay, go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead, take care of it. And then you're thinking, well, the guy, is he sniffing underwear? Nah, he's not that kind of a guy, is he? Anyway, coming up... Are the songs that your kids learn at summer camp, are those songs driving you to the point where you're not being able to balance your checkbook? Are your kids singing those repetitively, driving you to the brink of homicide? We'll be talking about that coming up here on the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our email address. It's phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be reading some emails that we got later on in the program. And also on our website, www.philhenryshow.com, you can pick up our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. And that is available in our souvenir shop. It's called World Famous. It's our Best of CD. We're very proud of it. And it's also a terrific buy because it is a 2-CD set. For the price of one. And all the money that we raise goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in in Hollywood, California. Okay, we had an anonymous caller to the show yesterday talking about how, despite the fact that he doesn't like Italians, he allowed his daughter to marry one, he paid for her wedding, he even got into a conga line dancing with them. The last straw, though, was when he saw the future father-in-law to his daughter sitting there drinking wine and laughing at him.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
To the
puppy that's on the line. I want to tell you something about Italians that you don't know because you don't read or study anything.
How do you know I don't read?
We are the best people in the world, the most kindest, loving people.
Here we go.
We have contributed more to the world than you will ever see.
You
your people
say that. When they
in
pull a body
lifetime.
Out of the East River, you guys always
you
say that.
You do not know anything. You don't know how to eat. You don't know how to live. You don't know how to do anything. And you want to compare yourself with the Italians? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Then why don't you make your husband going into a conga line?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You,
and the fact
and
that I had to get
on a... woman you were married to must have run when she found out what a sick puppy you were.
How come they're not in the conga line
you,
and I am?
You're nothing but a cheap son of a bitch. That's why you don't want to spend the money.
Like, this is just
I never heard of such a thing. People eating and he doesn't want people to eat. I never heard of such a anything
no, no, no.
So
it's not that
in
I don't
my
want,
life.
It's not that I don't want him to eat. That's not the point.
Yes,
the point
it is. That's
no.
what you were saying.
All right, but let
you
me make the point.
You don't want him to eat. You don't want him to drink.
I don't like to see
the wedding.
I don't like to see them eating while they're making me be in a conga line. And that fat father of his.
That is the most stupidest thing. You should hear yourself over the radio what you sound like.
What did I say?
It is totally ridiculous.
What?
And if your people can compare with my people, you got a long day coming, guys.
You know what, ma'am?
You can't compare us.
You know,
we have a beautiful country.
You sound just like my
we
wife.
Are the best. We have the best food in the world, the best culture,
and
everything.
Beautiful country,
and
huh?
You've got nothing.
If
you've
you're
contributed
in such a beautiful
nothing.
Country, then why don't you get on Alitalia and fly
but
back?
But a bunch of drunken bums. That's all you are.
Look, those Italians at my daughter's wedding wanted hot and cold antipasto. Can you imagine the absolute selfishness of those people? And I'll tell you something else, Phil. She must be Italian. I can hear her mustache brushing against the...
That's not necessary.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There you go. There's our anonymous caller. Sounded like Bob Green to me, though. Now, in the midst of our campaign to have professional athletes begin to behave in something approaching human-like, manner, in the midst of our campaign to have, for instance, professional football players act like human beings instead of complete and utter animals, we do want to point out the passing of a great man who actually contributed much to the sport of football, Tex Schramm. He was the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. And if you think of the Cowboys and you think of Staubach, you think of Chuck Howell, you think of Herb Adderley, you think of even the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders or Bob Lilly or Randy White, you got to think of Tex Schramm because he's the guy that put that whole thing together, that whole America's Team thing. They had at the height of the Texas, what are they called? The Dallas Cowboys. They're so great. I just love them. What's the name of the team? The Dallas Texans. At the height of the Dallas Cowboy power in the 80s, they had a radio station network of 225 stations. And they had a full Hispanic network, and they had those cheerleaders, and they had a movie about it. Yeah, the Cowboys were big time. And, you know, they were in the 90s, too, with Jimmy Johnson. But there was nothing quite like the Dallas. You didn't hate a team quite like you hated the 1970s Dallas Cowboys. Oh, God. On into the early 80s. Staubach, he'd kill you every day. He just beat you to death every day. And he always had a wide receiver out there, Drew Pearson, somebody out there ready to burn your ass. Just when you thought you guys were, you were set, you were on your way to the Super Bowl, here comes Staubach. The name itself means come from behind. As far as I'm concerned, Roger Staubach's the greatest come from behind quarterback ever. Ever. Elway was great. Marino, good. You never seen anything like Roger Staubach. And he was a rookie at 26 because he was in the United States Naval Academy where he won the Heisman Trophy. Then he did his four-year tour with the Navy. And by the time he finally got out, he was, in his late 20s. And we're talking about Hollywood Henderson. And we're talking about all those guys they had in the defensive secondary of the Cowboys. And how about Tony Dorsett? And how about Calvin Hill? And does anybody remember the name Dwayne Thomas? Nobody remembers Dwayne Thomas. Dwayne Thomas was great. He was a great running back. Dwayne Thomas, though, couldn't stand talking to the media. And as a result, Dwayne Thomas never talked to the media. And I'm talking 71, 72, 73, when Dwayne Thomas ran for the... He never talked to reporters. And so, as you might imagine, he got nothing but negative press. Only one guy knew how to talk to him, and that was Tom Landry, the guy that Tex Schramm hired. He could talk to Dwayne Thomas, and Dwayne Thomas would play for the man in the hat. But other than that, forget it. So he had a Cowboys and Tex Rams. So he passed on. He was 83. He was 39 when he took over the Dallas Cowboys, and he did within a few years what some clowns can't do still to this day. Like, imagine if Tex Ram would have worked for the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, I take that back. Tex Ram never would have worked for the Arizona Cardinals. How about the Colts? All right, 1-800-449 or whatever crap can team they're going to be bringing in here next year. 1-800-449-8686. Are the songs your children are learning at summer camp destructive? Interesting. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. I know you've got a Operation School Start is going to begin in advance of school back late August, early September. What is the major failing that you see happening right now, Jay?
Phil, right now we're seeing an awful lot of parents just failing, and we have to reluctantly take up the job of making sure that these kids. A lot of these young school kids are going to school dressed properly. Most public schools don't have school codes. And you have especially a young woman who wear thong underwear, a lot of the hip huggers, these tank tops. They have what are called baby tees, belly shirts. A lot of the gals don't wear underwear no more. And these are fine for summer vacation, but we don't approve. At least they're not in a serious environment like a school.
And parents, you say, are dropping the ball.
Well, a lot of parents are dropping the ball. Let a kid come to school dressed like that. If you want your daughter to run around, and you know, I don't want to use a word like slut, but it's...
Well, summer wear is not necessarily making a girl look loose. It's just, you know, it's comfortable.
Well, that's fine. I'm a father of a young son. He's going into seventh grade. Now, here's where the problem is, Phil, and this is why we're going to be out in malls for the next 4 weekends at least. And what we just want to do is take a peek into some of the bags the girls are coming out of the stores with. They will know that we're members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We wear a blue armband. We wear a white safari-style pith helmet. They'll know that we are there just to take a peek in the bag, make sure that they're coming out of these stores with this kind of clothing that I think is inappropriate for school. So we'll be in the South Bay areas. And across the country, live the Gator Patrol out in Florida, the New York State Simulated Minutemen, as well as the Beaver Brigade of Oregon, will all be in the malls.
All right, you're going to be looking in the bag, the shopping bags of girls and their parents?
Well, if they're with the parent, we will. I'd like to assure the parents we're not looking in their bags. We don't have any need to look in no parent bag, but we do want to look in the girls' bags.
You mentioned that your son and other young men are obviously affected by the way girls dress when they come to school. Specifically, your son is going to be going to a private school?
We're taking my boy out of the public school system. Now, we're going to put him in a private Catholic high school. Larry Wilcox used to be on Chips. His boy goes there. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the TV show Chips, but Larry Wilcox is on that show.
Yes, I do. I know him.
All right. What? My son and my wife were shopping for back-to-school clothes, and here's where it really hurts a father. My son was with my wife. They were walking through the mall. Apparently, my son saw some of these girls dressed inappropriately. They had the hip huggers on. They're pulled all the way down. So and the tank tops. You basically see everything. And apparently, my son got physically aroused and had to put a bag in front of himself. My wife was disgusted. This is the kind of thing I think that is embarrassing for a father. And we don't want our boys to be in that environment. We don't want a girl to be in that environment, neither.
So your son got aroused in the mall looking at these girls?
That is correct, yeah. And my wife came home and described to me what happened. She told me that the girls were wearing these low-cut jeans and the bra straps and everything. She was totally disgusted with my son because he got physically aroused and had to put a bag in front of him. Then she started talking to me about it, and I became, and this is the thing that I think is probably the most embarrassing, is that I got a little bit aroused. She could see that I was perspiring. I got flushed. I started perspiring. So my wife was disgusted with me as well. I had to spend the night sleeping on a couch. So it affects the entire family.
All right, we're talking about teenage girls, though, 13-year-olds?
That is correct.
All right, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is on the air with us, talking about back-to-school, where kids are going back to school, and the girls are wearing halter tops, T-tops, tank tops, you know, low-cut, the hip huggers are back, and I mean, they're like lower than ever before.
Absolutely, Phil. We're not talking, well, you know, I'm not trying to not be hip or kids can have all kinds of fun. I'm just trying to make sure that they're dressed appropriately. This is a learning environment school. And all we want to do is go into the mall areas and just take a peek in the bags.
So you're going to be looking into bags as the girls are coming out of the stores as long as they're with their parents, right?
No, we'll be checking the bags of any teenage. We just want to take a peek in the bag, make sure there's nowhere that we think could be potentially dangerous to any young boy in a high school environment. And that is, you got thong underwear or some kind of underwear like that. But yes, we will check the bag. But we want the parents to know that if the girls are with their parent, we won't be checking the parents' bag. Just take a peek in the girls' bag.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police group. Jay Santos is the Brigadier Admiral of the organization, and they are located in Hawthorne, California. They're going to be checking the bags of teenage girls coming out of stores, back to school stores, you know, coming out with clothes to make sure they're not wearing, don't have any thong underwear or hip huggers or T-tops or things like that, correct?
That is correct, Phil.
Now, how do you know they're not wearing that, they're buying that clothing just as leisure wear?
Well, we're certainly going to be asking some questions, ask them why they have it. We just want to be sure, and all we want to do is if we do see the clothing, we give the girls basic facts and figures on what can happen. It's, for instance, a medical fact. A lot of girls don't know that if you wear a bikini in a pool and there's a boy in the pool with you, you could potentially get pregnant that way. A lot of girls don't know that.
But if there's a girl in a bikini in a swimming pool?
In a public pool, that's correct, yeah. She could get pregnant just by being in the pool with a boy.
Because of the obvious fluids and stuff?
That is correct. We also give the girls facts and figures on, you know, how babies are made, and we ask for their names. We get the home phone numbers, their names, where they go to school. It's a pretty good indication the school allows this kind of slut dress to happen. We want to check into it. But we won't confiscate. If they were asking, are we confiscating? No, we're not going to confiscate. But what we will do is get the name, address, girl, school she goes to, and we'll give them a primer on how babies are made, because a lot of these girls don't know.
Now, as you guys are out patrolling the different malls, are there just men?
I'm sorry, Phil.
I mean, in other words, the people that are...
Those of us who are patrolling?
That is correct.
Yeah, they're primarily male force. Yeah, two female sub-commanders, they were at the substation. That's the wife, Bill Riley's wife, and Tom Donahoe's wife. They answer the phone and make sandwiches. But the guys go out are primarily men, that's correct.
All right, so these are men who are, you're saying, you're telling girls...
Well, what we're trying to do is when a girl is out and she's wearing thong and...
No, I know. So she's got the thong underwear and she's got the hip hugger pants in the bag that she came out of the store with.
That is correct.
You guys are telling her the facts of life?
No, what we're doing is we're letting these girls know the danger of wearing this kind of clothing. We're going to get a guy aroused, and next thing you know, we're going to get pregnant. A lot of these girls don't know how, as sad as this is, a lot of these girls don't know how babies are made.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you're describing to them how the sex act?
Well, I won't say the sex act. We tell them about, you know, how the sperm and everything goes into the egg. But one of the problems is, Phil, yeah, these kids have no sex education. Schools cut out all sex education. And certainly we need to let them know that. If I see a girl with thong underwear in a bag, I'm going to say to myself, she needs a little education. And also on top of that, Phil, it's important for these kids to know that that they can get pregnant without knowing it. And that's the most important thing. Just sitting in a pool in today's low-cut bathing suits where everything's hanging out, you can get pregnant if the boy gets in a pool. We're just trying to protect these girls, trying to save lives at the same time.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on Operation School Start. They're going to be looking into the bags of girls coming out of stores to make sure there's no thong underwear, this kind of thing. Apparently, You know, a lot of public schools don't have dress codes. And some of these parents think there should be dress codes, I guess. Wearing that kind of clothing into a public school, thong underwear and the low-cut hip huggers, is distracting to the young boys and is potentially dangerous to the girls. So they take a look in the bags to see if they've got any of that kind of clothing. If they do, they give them a primer on the facts of life. The rest of it can be, you know, one way or the other, but I'm not so sure I want a guy telling my daughter how babies are made if I don't even know who the guy is. I understand that they are part of a volunteer police agency, so some of this may be constitutional. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police agency that'll have officers out in malls this weekend checking through shopping bags. One of the reasons is that there are no real dress codes in public schools. And Jay Santos is with us, who's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You made the point that parents are not doing the job of monitoring what their kids dress, how their kids dress, so you guys need to do it?
Well, Phil, I don't want to do any parents' job for them, but the fact of the matter is these girls go to school dressed in inappropriate wear, thong underwear that is visible above the jean line, and my son, who is trying to get into a prestigious private Catholic school at the end of his seventh grade year, this is a pivotal year for him. And because a lot of your listeners have daughters who go to school dressed, you know, as if they have no morals. I'm not saying that the parent people listening to your program don't have morals. But I am saying that many of them have children who go to school dressed, daughters especially go to school dressed as, I guess what you call a spade, but dressed like a slut. This is going to impact my son's ability because it gets them frustrated. The boys see this. They get excited looking at these girls. I don't know what kind of mothers they have or what they want to do. That's their business. But they're not going to impact the future of my son.
But going out and looking into the bags of girls to make so you think that you say constitutionally you have a right?
We have the right of citizen's arrest as a citizen's auxiliary police, so we can go into the girl's shopping bag and look for the inappropriate wear. I can't take that clothing from her, but I can explain to her she can get pregnant wearing a lot of this stuff. I think it's the most important thing to say.
And that girls can get pregnant wearing a bathing suit in a swimming pool where boys are in it.
That is established medical fact. That is true.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This man, obviously, worried about his son. I don't know how you'd feel about Jay, I got to tell you, if you stopped my own daughter, whatever she had in her bag, I don't think I'd look kindly upon it.
Well, if your daughter's wearing sexless clothing, get a boy all sexually excited and make it all tough for him to sit there, you know, he's got to physically aroused, your daughter don't have the right to do that.
I'm going to go over here to Bernice. Is it Bernice?
Yes, it is.
Go right ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Well, first of all, I want you to know I'm 62 years old. I'm not a child. And so the point of view I'm coming from is from an adult female.
I understand.
I find it extraordinarily offensive that anybody would be fascist enough to open up children's bags and find out what they're wearing. If this man's son gets physically aroused, I think the boy it's normal. I don't see anything abnormal about that.
Well, ma'am, I'm not trying to be fashionable and open up the bags. I'm just trying to check out, make sure that the girls are not. Have you seen the way a lot of these girls dress?
Please don't interrupt me. I don't think you have any right to look into anybody's bags in the United States of America.
I'm not taking the clothing away from them. I'm just making sure.
I don't care if you're taking it away or not.
The slut wear that they wear.
Well, you call it slut wear. I mean, why do you call it slut wear?
Well, what parent's going to let a girl go out with all these hip huggers on and everything?
Well, obviously, a lot of them are allowing it. What your son did in the mall was a natural thing. That your wife had you sleep on a couch, I think you people have a family problem that you should take care of.
Excuse me, what would that be?
Well, I don't have a clue. I've been married for 36 years, and I would never dream of putting my husband on the sofa for any reason.
I got aroused when she told me about some of the clothing the girls were wearing.
Well, then you have
totally
a problem. Not
wait a minute,
the girls.
Wait. My son?
You have grown men asking girls to open up their bags to show them their purchases. And by the way, there is no way anybody gets pregnant in a swimming pool without penetration because they've got a bikini on. That is so absurd, and I'd love to know where you got that fact.
Well, ma'am, it's medical fact. A girl, because the fluid floats around in the pool.
Oh, please.
And it can float up into the areas.
It can't even live in that temperature water. Who are we kidding?
Well, ma'am, are you a doctor? Or a...
No, but I am a school teacher, and I taught sex education
right.
for years, and this is absolutely bizarre.
That you understand that it's totally normal for a man to get aroused when he hears about underwear, not that kind of thing.
You know
That's
what?
Why my wife
I was raised in the 50s, and boys got aroused when we were wearing our long slacks. And, you know, so don't tell me that that doesn't happen anyway.
Yeah, but...
I feel sorry for your son.
Well, here's the thing.
I feel sorry for you.
My question is...
Well, this woman's called up to insult me, Mr. Andrew. It's not my purpose.
Well, hold on. My question is, did you say you got aroused when you heard about the 13-year-old girls?
Mr. Andrew, that doesn't make me a pervert. It makes me perfectly normal. My wife was describing some of the, you know, halter tops and everything they were wearing, and I got... my face started to flush, and I started to perspire.
So you were getting hot?
I was, yeah.
All right, so that's why she had you sleep on the couch.
She had me sleep. She was disgusted with us. And I think the problem is when the parents out there, such as this lady or whoever, allow their children to go to school dressed like this, my boy gets all hopped up and crazy. He can't get into the private Catholic school we want to get him into. I want to get him out of the public school. I want to get him out of the public school and away from these public school girls who dress like they're going off to a whorehouse, and get him into a good Catholic school that's all boys.
You mean to tell me if your son does not get into a good Catholic school, it is the girl's problem. It is the girl's fault.
Ma'am, bra straps and G-strings riding up a girl's butt will turn a boy on, turn a grown man on.
And so that's going to stop your son from getting into a private school, I'm shocked.
I'm afraid that that could, yes ma'am.
All right, well, I mean, so he's going to be worried about the thongs instead of his grades.
Hello, welcome to the world of men.
All right, Bernice, thank you for your call at 1-800-449-8686. Girls in a school, public schools, wearing the thongs, wearing the T-tops, wearing the hip huggers, are they turning boys on to the point where it's not fair? Mr. Jay Santos is with us with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They are going through shopping bags, checking the kinds of items that girls are buying this summer. And if they are overly sexual, Mr. Santos, you're giving them a lecture on sex?
We're not giving a lecture, Mr. Henry. No, we are simply saying to them, you put on a lot of these clothing, that's how babies are made.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Barbara, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
No, babies are not made by the clothing that you wear. Babies aren't made that way.
Who are you?
My name is Barbara.
All right, well, my name's Jay. How about introducing yourself some?
Well, okay, let me introduce myself as a nurse. First of all,
you're not a doctor.
A girl cannot
you're not a doctor.
Get pregnant
you're not a doctor.
By sperm and chlorinated water. It will not live.
Why? Have you got a medical degree? No. So unless you have a medical degree, I'm not exactly a...
I haven't heard that the girls can get impregnated standing in pool water either.
Mr. Santos,
ma'am?
You're a freaking police officer. What the hell do you know about medicine?
Well, ma'am, you're a nurse. What do you know about medicine?
Well, she's closer to medicine.
A lot more than you.
Well, ma'am, I can
tell
you right now.
And I'll tell you what, if that's
you know,
the time you came
really?
Up to my daughter and wanted to look in her shopping bag, I'd tell you to go to hell.
Well, I'll tell you what, ma'am, then you'd be in violation of my constitutional rights, citizens or ass. And I'll tell you something
else. You think it's not my constitutional right to tell you to get your nose out of my shopping bag?
You think it's your constitutional right to send your daughter off, dressed like a slut, so that my son gets all... Do you know what makes a penis hard, ma'am?
Okay, I don't want to...
Oh,
no,
for God's
sake. I bet
she
doesn't
you
know even
what?
Know the answer to that question.
Maybe your son needs to quit being so sheltered and develop some better study habits.
Excuse me, nurse. Pass the scalpel, okay? You know, that's what you know, how to pass the scalpel.
Well, Jay, you're not a doctor either, and you've come on this program and made the statement that girls standing in pool water can get pregnant.
That is correct.
Well, that is wrong. It's just anybody who takes basic health knows that that's wrong.
Jesus!
And you also, I don't want any talk about what makes what hard.
Well, that's what happened to my son in the mall because of some girl with a thong up her butt crack. I don't want to see that because I want to get him into a private Catholic school and out of the public school
then
system.
Then maybe you better make him apply. It doesn't have anything to do with what arouses him. It has everything to do with his grades.
Yes, and he can't get good grades if the thong's up the butt crack.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Should we control what girls are wearing in schools if it's arousing the boys? Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil.
The back-to-school shopping is underway, and a lot of girls are wearing clothing that may be deemed inappropriate at school. Public schools have no dress codes. But you, Mr. Santos, are a volunteer police officer. In other words, your group is not even a recognized police group, is it?
Mr. Trainer, we have a constitutional right to citizens' arrest, and we do patrol to keep the police, try to give them assistance. And all we want to do is take a look in the shopping bags of these girls. When we enter the change rooms, we knock first. We're not in there to try to get a peek. We're simply there to take a look and see what the girls are wearing.
Well, wait. Because you don't like the inappropriate clothing that girls are wearing in schools, you said that, you know, because it gets your son distracted and other boys, you're looking at the back. You're going into the change rooms?
We do have the right to do that. We're doing this as a service free of charge to the stores. We simply tap on the door. We identify ourselves as officers of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We enter the room. We keep our eyes downcast at all times. We simply ask the girls, are they wearing anything that's, you know, sexual in nature? And we certainly do ask them at that time then to remove it, put it in a bag, at which time when they come out of the change room, we'll take a look at it and make sure that it's something that we don't want these kids going to school, Mr. Henry, wearing some kind of wear that's going to make a boy want to rape them. And I think any responsible mother who lets her girl go to school wearing hip huggers or a dress or something that's going to get a boy hot, I guess she wants her kid to get raped. That's the only thing I can...
Oh, that's pretty extreme. That is pretty extreme. Any mother that lets her daughter go to school wearing hip huggers wants her kid to get raped?
Well, why else should she do that? Because the boys get hot. My boy had to put a bag in front of his crotch and had to walk with a limp in the mall area all the way through JCPenney's on out to the car because he had a arousal situation. And I think that any parent who allows their daughter to go out with the thong up the back, and even I can tell you, Mr. Henry, how dangerous it is for these girls and how dangerous to make it for boys. When my wife told me about these girls wearing thong underwear, I got aroused. And it forced my wife and I to have a very serious argument. I'd spend the night on the couch.
Yeah, you know, I got a question about you getting aroused when you're hearing these stories.
Well, I'm a normal man, Mr. Henry. Girls should wear dress pants to school, mini skirts are intolerant, but just dress slacks, a suit, navy blue suits, with a handbag, pumps about a half inch to an inch heel, and a string of pearls that's perfectly lovely, and something a girl can wear and feel proud in.
And so, you want today's high school student to go to school wearing a girl... You wanted to go to school wearing a navy blue pantsuit with pearls?
That is it. Well, I'd like to ask you...
That's not what kids wear these days.
My boy is walking with a limp. I'm aroused to the point where I'm spending the night on a couch. They get to wear makeup. They get to look like sluts. And yet I, in my own home, have to sleep on my couch.
You know, Mr. Santos, sir... Asking a girl to wear a navy blue pantsuit with a string of pearls and a handbag, that's not what girls wear these days.
Oh, what they wear these days, though, is the kind of clothing make a boy want to rape them.
They're not going to... I think that that's wrong. I think it's wrong to characterize a boy's arousal as necessarily something that is going to turn violent. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And let's go to Ely, is it, sir? Ely?
Yes.
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I don't know who you are, but I think your police chief that's in your department there, wherever you're being an auxiliary police officer.
Yes, sir.
He needs to be the one addressing this situation and not you. And number one, I've got a daughter, and I don't think you need to be addressing anybody but the people that make the clothes, not the kids, because they have the right to buy what they want to.
Well, sir, my commanding officer is Major Elvis Newton, and it was at his behest that we went ahead and did this. And all we're doing is we're entering the change room. Well, hopefully the girls are dressed. We give them a couple of seconds to put to cover their breasts up, and then we'll go in.
You're not allowed in nobody's change room, and the stores ought to be shut down for even letting you come in them and do them.
Well, we're just doing this as a public service to the store.
Is the store hiring you?
Right. Is the store aware of this?
Is the store hiring you at a cost or a price?
To my knowledge, the store is aware of it. That's what.
Well, I put it to you this way. I hope it ain't Walmart.
Why's that, sir?
Because I dang sure won't be going back into your Walmart.
No, sir, I don't think it is Walmart.
But, you know, you have a right to take care of your own child.
If your boy
is having problems being aroused by girls, then you need to go ahead and take him out of the school now and not wait.
Well, he has.
And number one, if you approached my daughter, you wouldn't get a touch in her bag.
What you talking about? All I'm saying is I just want to go into the chain.
You're not going to touch anybody's bag unless you've got a proof that they're stealing something.
All right, well, here's the thing.
That's the only way you can do it.
Well, sir, here's the thing. So you're saying your daughter gets to go out with her butt cheeks hanging out. My boy gets
my
all
daughter don't have her butt cheeks out. But the fashion people that make those clothes are the ones you need to be approaching.
Can I jump in, gentlemen? Can I jump in? I want you to be clear about something, Mr. Santos. You're not working for Walmart.
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, because I don't want the impression made that Walmart is condoning this at all.
No, I just I was asked not to mention the name of the store.
Okay, and I'd rather that you not.
But I will tell you that Fraley's Department Store.
I asked you not to do that.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
You forgot. Now I'm going to get sued by them.
I forgot.
Well, number one,
Jesus.
You have no reason to go into anybody's bag unless they're walking out the front door
and
have stole something.
Okay, but you say your daughter can have her boobs bouncing all over the mall and my boy has to suffer.
My daughter dresses appropriately, but if you want to attack somebody, you need to be attacking the people
the
that
makers.
Make the clothes, not the kids.
All right, Ely, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, I'm calling. Mr. Santos, you need to maybe take a check at yourself to see how you're raising your own child. That is one thing you're doing is that's not a civil citizen's arrest. That is an invasion of privacy.
Well,
citizen's arrest is when you are making a citizen's arrest to try and keep someone else from getting physically hurt or causing harmful acts or someone else.
Well,
and
I'm doing, I'm knocking first on the change room door, let the girls cover their breasts or whatever they need to do, and then we go in and get the underwear.
No, that is invasion of privacy, okay? You cannot do that. You will be arrested and you will be put in jail for doing something like that.
I don't think so. I've got a very good understanding with some of the police officers around here. And
you need to check your penal codes, okay? Because that is an invasion of privacy.
Check my what? I'm sorry?
That is called invasion of your penal codes.
He said my
your penal
code. Penal code.
Penal codes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Right. However, let me say this. As a parent, first of all, are you a police officer?
Yes, I am.
All right. Do you have your own theme music?
I'm sorry?
Do you have your own theme music?
I don't need my own theme music.
Well, I have my own theme music.
Okay.
And I will tell you this, sir, that my boy is trying to get into a very exclusive Catholic high school, and I don't know how he's going to pass the entrance exam when your daughter's running around out there with her butt cheeks hanging out.
Okay, first of all, You're trying to decide someone else how to raise their own daughters. You need to raise your son correctly and have him know what right and wrong is to do when he is approaching that situation. Well, he needs to get up and walk away if it's going to affect him that much.
So I'm not allowed to go in the change room?
No, you're not.
All right, thank you. I'm glad I cleared that up.
What do you mean you're glad you cleared it up?
I thought there was something wrong.
Yeah, with you. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Come on my program and demand airtime. Because I think that you're just interrupting the process of the program.
I was made fun of in that last segment trying to describe how young girls are dressing inappropriately and how it makes boys hot. And how it doesn't allow them to...
I know what you were describing.
And I think it's unfair because your daughter has big boobs. My boy has to come home humping a Macy's bag. Yeah, that's real fair. You know, you can all rot in hell. You can all rot in the living hell, as far as I'm concerned. Now, he's a man to have my theme music.
Your what?
My theme music.
You just got done saying that your son's humping a Macy's bag, and I'm supposed to play your theme music?
That's in the contract. Yeah, okay.
What did he do, hang up? He hangs up while I'm playing his theme music. My daughter's got big boobs, so his kid's got to hump a Macy's bag. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. From our show on Friday, we had Brad Rifkin, very interesting guy. He's a owner of a gym for 23 years. He's written a book called You Gotta See It to Believe It. 23 years of hysterically funny stories and funny photographs of fat people working out and trying to lose weight. Although Mr. Rifkin had a few callers that didn't like his book, they thought it was mean and tasteless.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Going past shock and repulsion, I realized that not very many people would agree that what you're describing is funny. And that just... narrows that field down to a level of intelligence that is so low.
What is that? Have you read the book, ma'am?
I just listened to you describe it, and frankly, I'm not even going to look at it for free, because that it's not funny. It's mean. It's mean, and you're making money at the expense of other people.
That's kind of my feeling.
No, it's 23 years of some of the funniest stuff you ever saw in your life. You look at some fat, ass woman. She's on a treadmill, right?
Whose heart is breaking, which is why she's on the treadmill.
Her heart's breaking?
Yeah. Do you think that she's in there trying to lose weight because she wants to be funny?
Well, but see, here's the thing. If she would just accept the fact that she's always going to be fat, she's never going to look good. If she would accept that, she would find another fat man who would accept her, as opposed to trying to pretend like she's, the second coming of Tyra Banks.
But you don't explain to people why it is they can't lose weight. Why? Why? Is that your opinion or is that a fact?
You know why they can't lose weight, Susan? I can tell you. They can't stay away from cheesecake. That's why. And all of the coming into my gym, which they spend maybe 4 weeks, then they leave. And then they go back home and they do 3 half gallons of ice cream, cheesecake.
Well, listen, the only person that I can imagine that would think what you're describing is funny is the same kind of person that would spy on people through a two-way mirror. Do you have a sign up saying this facility for your security has a two-way mirror, or are you just doing this secretly?
We don't have to because it's a private
Because it's a private thing, and
right.
You have that type of nature in you.
I don't understand what this lady is.
Well, sir, we think that maybe there's a little voyeur going on. The fact that you're laughing at people...
it's fun. You got to see the book. The picture that you said, Mr. Dan, we got a guy that died of a heart attack. That, I realize, is bad. But if you look at his face, the tongue's hanging out.
You got a picture of a man who's dead in your gym?
Yeah. How many people have you seen dead?
Oh, my God. That's the point. That's why I wrote this book. You see these fat tubs of guts coming in. We lost 2 a month for a while. 2 a month.
Then tell them the truth. If you want to make a difference, tell the truth. What you really want to do is make a profit. You've made that very clear.
24 people a year died at your gym?
Yes. You know why? Because they were a tub of lard that thought that they were a Rafer Johnson.
And they were not properly trained by the responsible people working at the gym.
Well, who's supposed to do that?
You would say, let's start out slow. Let's do these things. But no, you take pictures of people killing themselves.
Do you think my opinion is going to stop a cheesecake? Who do you think's got a stronger... My opinion or the cheesecake? What do you think is stronger? I'm going to lose.
Well, in my life at this point, the cheesecake.
That's right.
And I don't like cheesecake.
So you're going to be... How much do you weigh?
I weigh 140.
Wait. I bet you I can guess, because I can tell by the fat pushing on your vocal cords.
That is just great. I happen to be a really strong woman, and no, I don't have that problem.
You're 200.
I happen to be a diabetic, and so I do.
Okay, I knew that you had some kind of fat.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, then why are you wheezing?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I can tell by the fat pushing against your vocal cords. You know, that'd be a nice way of seeing just exactly how much some people weigh. Just that kind of thick cloud of salt like that, which, by the way, we went to an Italian restaurant in near Silver Strand Beach Saturday night. Took the kids. God, is it good. I'm even going to mention the name right here on the air. I'm going to mention it's on Channel Islands Boulevard, and I don't care. I'm not getting paid. Our meal wasn't for free. Maybe the guy slipped me, a Chianti if I plugged him. I didn't. He didn't do anything. Angelo's. Doesn't that sound like an Italian? I thought it was a sushi joint at first. Yeah, called Angelo's. No, yeah, I'm serious, Chris. Jesus. So we went in there. It's got the checkered tablecloths, the whole deal. The Manigat, or the Manigut, or as I say in my part of Ireland, Manicatti. They got that Chianti. They got the good Moretti beer. They had a marvelous... They got a couple of red leather. You know what they got? This is what they had. Forget about whether you need a smoking section or not. They got an adult section, and then they got a family section. Thank you. Hello. Anybody think of that? I walked in. They got two beautiful little rooms for couples and, like adult people. And then the big main room is for if you got some kids with you, which I think is brilliant. So we saw couples going in. They went off into the corner booth, shut the door, and went at it. And then we're out there in the middle, just like the family that we are, throwing food at each other. The whole thing's a mess after we leave. Oh, it was good. But the reason why I brought that up is because I swear to God, we were eating. They've got some garlic bread. See, they start off with a nice garlic bread. They bring you a salad, one of those really cool little salads with olives, tomatoes. I'm trying to think of what else. It was a real nice little Italian salad with, nice vinaigrette thing going on, or Italian dressing. They have the Parmesan's on the table, so you got that. And then they have the red Italian peppers. You can throw that in there if you want to. And then they had the garlic bread. Now, my kids will eat all the bread on the table if we don't tell them not to. And at one point, my son actually was like, hey, can I have some cheese dip? And I said, Jesus, I said, the fat's, it's now put, what are you talking about? I said, I can hear the fat just gets coagulating on your vocal cords, man. And I said, that's it. No more bread for you. But they brought out a pizza that was a sausage and a sausage and pepper pizza. And then, the kids, they eat the double cheese thing, but I've talked them into getting things, because the kids, all they want is a cheese pizza. Put something on it. Put some sausage on it. Something. So finally they were into sausage and pepperoni, or sausage and peppers, and then they got a little side of spaghetti, and they got a chicken parmesan, and I got the manicotti, and my wife had a linguine and clams that was just out of this world. And they've been there. This restaurant's been there for like 23 years. They were in Santa Monica. They couldn't stand that any longer, so they went up the coast and actually started making money. I'm kidding, Santa Monica. It's a charming rent-controlled place. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our Best Of CD is available at philhenryshow.com in our souvenir shop. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And check out all the new stuff, the Ted's at Beverly Hills apron. We've got the Phil Henry shot glasses. It's all there.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.